individual commissioner, Father. Right now, I pray for Commissioner Page that you would touch and heal him, Father. And for this board, give us the wisdom that we need to make good decisions for our county. These and all other things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Tonight, the board to meet with fact attorney Tim Warner to discuss and vote on personnel issues. Mr. Warner?
Thank you. Commissioner Feeney. For the record, my name is Tim Warner of the Warner Law Firm, 519 Grace Avenue, Panama City, Florida. I'm an attorney with the Florida Association of Counties Trust that has been assigned to represent both Taylor County Board of County Commissioners and Dan Castle in his individual capacity in a lawsuit entitled Jeremy Denmark versus Taylor County Board of County Commissioners and Dan Castle in his individual capacity. Case number 4:16-CV-00087-MWCAS, filed in the United States District Court for the Northern District of Florida, Tallahassee Division. Commissioners, this lawsuit involves a claim or claims by Mr. Denmark, who's a former firefighter with Taylor County, and he's alleged three causes of action. He's alleged a count one is a whistleblower cause of action against the county. Count two is a First Amendment retaliation claim against the county. And count three is a First Amendment retaliation claim against Dan Castle in his individual capacity. I represent both the county and Dan Castle in this litigation. Pursuant to court order, and our judge is Judge Michael Walker of the U.S. District Court, pursuant to court order in this case, we were required to participate in a mediation this past week, January the 17th, in Tallahassee at the offices of Jason Osteen. He served as the mediator. Present at that mediation were myself, representing the county, Mr. Castle. Mr. Spradley was present for the county, and Dan Castle was present. And also present was a claims adjuster, Chris Smith, from the Florida Association of Counties Trust. At the outset, I'd like to tell the board I want to compliment Mr. Spradley for his presence, and he did, it was a long day, and he did good work, and I thank him on behalf of the board, and I thank you guys for sending him to be there. We were able to enter into a mediation settlement agreement, and it is contingent upon the board's approval. And so at this time, with your permission, I'll present the terms, the key terms of the mediation settlement agreement to you for your consideration. Thank you. Ma'am, pursuant, and commissioners, pursuant to the mediation settlement agreement, there are several key issues. Number one, the county, through its insurer, the Florida Association of Counties Trusts, will pay unto Mr. Denmark and his attorney the total amount of $170,000. That is inclusive of attorney's fees and costs. The county's portion of that is the county's $5,000 deductible of that. Basically what happens is fact would cut, Florida Association of Counties Trusts would cut a check for $170,000 and the county would get billed at a later date for its $5,000 deductible. As part of the agreement, Mr. Denmark has agreed to dismiss with prejudice any claim or claims against Mr. Castle in his individual capacity. He has agreed that he will never reapply for employment with Taylor County again. He will be allowed to submit a letter of resignation to the county effective date of September 22, 2015. There is no admission of wrongdoing on behalf of the county. And the plaintiff has agreed to sign, or he already has signed, a general release whereby he releases the county and Mr. Castle from any and all liability associated with these actions. This is the terms of the mediation settlement agreement for your consideration. I do need to tell the board, you know, kind of what the coverage agreement provides, just for the record, and so you guys have that awareness. Yes, ma'am. According to the coverage agreement, again, right now the way that the mediation settlement agreement is prepared, the only out-of-pocket that the county has is a $5,000 deductible. However, if this matter were to proceed to trial and the county and or Mr. Castle did not prevail in the matter, then the coverage agreement does not cover future wage loss claims by Mr. Denmark. So if the jury were to apportion any damages for future wage loss, that would come out of the county's pocket. In addition, the coverage agreement does not provide coverage for attorney's fees associated with, specifically associated with a whistleblower claim. So if we did not prevail at trial and there was an award of attorney's fees based upon a whistleblower count, then that would come out of the county's coffers also. In addition, a benefit to getting this resolved in the way we did is part of the relief requested by plaintiffs in the complaint, the amended complaint, is injunctive relief, whereby seeking a court order that Mr. Denmark be rehired by the county. So under the terms of this agreement, he has agreed, he's no longer employed, but he's agreed never to reapply. So for these reasons, on behalf of the Florida Association of Counties Trust, and in the effort to prevent mediation, I present for your consideration approval of this mediation settlement agreement and ask your consideration of approving it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want to ask, does any board member have any questions of this attorney? If not, then what is the pleasure of the board?
I got a question. I'm going to ask you, I ask you this in there. So
yes, sir.
There is no fault on the part of the county except the termination fact. We did nothing wrong. None of our people are.
I believe the question that you were to ask me, sir, was any specific individual at fault?
That's
this?
Right.
And to clarify, my response is this, is the event that gave rise to this termination occurred on September 11, 2015. What happened is, there was a call that was made. There was issues related to Mr. Denmark's response to that. Dan Castle, the fire chief, was not present at that time, but he was asked by Mr. Hinkle, who at the time was the county administrator, to do an investigation. What Mr. Castle did is he went and he asked those firefighters who were present at the time to provide affidavits, which they did. He also obtained a CAD report, a dispatch report of that. And based upon that, he presented a report to Mr. Hinkle for his review. It was also reviewed by Ms. Dunn, Margaret Dunn, and by Ms. Verdeer of the county. And based upon their review, based upon the information that they had available from Mr. Denmark's record, Mr. Hinkle made the ultimate decision to terminate Mr. Denmark. I will tell you, sir, and all members of the commission, during the course of litigation, you always find out information that may not have been readily known at the time decisions are made. But to answer your question directly, sir, I want to be very clear. You know, as far as Chief Castle, he wasn't even present for any of the events on September 11th. He was gathering the information on that. And as far as what information was going, the decisions were made by Mr. Hinkle on were based upon affidavits that were submitted there. What has come in, and which would have to be weighed on this case, sir, is there were some other allegations that were not known at the time concerning some allegations of reports of concerns over some radio issues, some staffing issues, and some allegation of comments being made about a change of testing for a lieutenant position that came into play in the evaluation process. Did I answer your question, sir?
You answered my question. You talked a lot.
Okay. Well, I tried
to. Technical attorney.
Well, okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, any other questions? Okay. So, again, what is the pleasure of the board?
I make a motion to go ahead and pay $5,000. They'll completely clear us from this, completely wipe it out.
I second.
Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Dempse. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
I don't want to pay nothing, but I'll say yes for to bring it to the board.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioner. Madam Commissioner, since you're the chair, one thing that I would ask you to do, since the board has approved the mediation settlement agreement, when you have an opportunity, if you could sign, we have the original mediation settlement agreement that you would be asked to sign and then notarized by the clerk. And then if you provide that to Mr. Spradley, and he'll provide it to me, and I could request the funding issued.
Okay. I should need to approve
the motion should be made to approve the mediation settlement agreements.
And the $5,000.
In the $5,000.
Okay. So I'll just that motion.
That's what you meant.
Yeah, I'm worried that way.
Thank you, Ms. Coe.
Yes.
Just want to tell the board, number one, I appreciate y'all waiting on me. I just got out of trial and I stopped by to feed my dog, and I thought it was supposed to start to suck. But the reason why I wasn't in mediation, I had a conflict where I'd have been involved in this case. I'm usually involved in the cases, usually go to all the mediations, but I just couldn't because I had a conflict. So just keep from getting into that trick bag. I didn't go to the mediation.
Yes, sir.
Understood.
Okay.
Anyway, are you a notary? Can I go ahead and do that now? I think I'd rather go ahead and do that now.
Yes, ma'am. Get me done with it. Yes, ma'am.
But I need a copy for the record.
Oh, I have a copy. I have copies, ma'am. Well, thank you all for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You guys have a wonderful workshop. Thank you. Good luck with everything. Mr. Spradley, thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. My commissioners, thank you for your time.
Over five.
Thank you.
That's what they do something with.
Tomorrow's fine.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
Good seeing you.
Good seeing you.
Take care.
That way.
That's all for right now.
Thank you, sir.
So now I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
Thank you.
Got a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Moody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Good.
That portion is over. Now, I think we can go ahead and start our regular workshop meeting. Would you like to pray this
time? I would.
Okay. And we'll stand for the prayer of the night, please.
Father, we come to you right now, blessing your name, for your name is worthy to be praised. We love you, Father, for what you've done. We ask you to forgive us for our sins. We ask you right now to pray, and we pray for the forgiveness of this council, that we will do what's best for our citizens. We pray right now for the green and blue. And we know that all lives matter. We thank you right now for what's going to do for this country, this county, and these citizens of this city and county. As we do ask you to bless you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Since Commissioner Page is not here, and we some of these were his topics, we spoke about, and I know this is, I guess you would be the one entertaining the motion, but I'm not sure that we wanted to eliminate number 7.
If that wasn't Commissioner Page's, let's don't.
It was not, but number 2, 5, and 9 were.
2, 5, and 9.
Yeah.
Actually, that was Richard Bigelow who brought that up about a month ago.
Well.
So, we don't vote on anything tonight, but we can just agree that we're going to strike 2, 5, and 9.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, number 1, the board to receive comments from local citizen Walter Rowell. Reference to the sales tax resolution. If you want to come forward and state your name and address.
I'll wait till you get through, Commissioner.
I'm Drew.
Walter Riley, 12530, County Road 78, Greenville, Florida. I really wasn't, not all that. Well, Pam asked me, Pam offered, gave me the opportunity to come, and I thank y'all for that. I wanted to mention some things, and I look up there, and I know all y'all know more about it than I do, because all of you are a lot older than me, such as Pam.
Thank you.
Maybe any of that. But anyway, sales tax was local sales tax, surtax was introduced sometime way back in the past. It seemed like long ago. But in the mid-80s, Fayette County was faced with some substantial needs for financing, based on growth management legislation during that time. We were required to build new landfills. Department of Corrections told us that we needed to build a new jail. And with all of the growth management legislation, the county didn't have the money with that oral tax to do that kind of stuff. But they gave us provisions for the sales tax, and the sales tax was adopted by referendum. We, as the county, voted to put the sales tax on, believing that it would be sunset after the jail was completed. We knew, based on the study that we had done, that the possibility of paying off the jail early was there, because we were told that we could probably rent out all the beds that were up there and generate revenue. Well, that happened, but things changed and the sunset didn't occur. Sales tax continued and the jail money was used for other things, and as a result, the budget went up substantially. When you increase revenue, you increase the budget. Back then, sales tax for Taylor County generated about $800,000. Today, it will generate close to $2.5 million. And I have absolutely no issues with sales tax. I believe it's the fairest tax that can possibly be used for people, because everybody pays it. And if you don't buy, you don't pay. Run into Commissioner Russell in Walmart, and I was almost hesitant because he told me it was all over, but it's all been decided. But I think that's totally true. I think you have to adopt the ordinance and have a couple of hearings in the future for that.
The ordinance has already been adopted.
The ordinance has already been adopted. Well, has it been passed?
Yes.
Well, then my question is, what capital improvements are you intending to do with $2.5 million? Now, Commissioner Russell asked me, would I rather see it done on a sales tax or a property tax? So, somebody tell me what capital improvements is going to be done for $2.5 million. Do you know?
I know we need to use some of it.
But what, for what specific?
When the hospital paid off to dredge the canals out, is what we talked about. And that's those two things.
Which canals are you talking about?
As far as I'm concerned, it needs to be all of them, but I think they're going to try to get the Key Beach Canal first to try, if they do dredge, to get where people can go in and out, at least out of where they can get
people. I don't have any problems with that.
We got 50 or 60 people that's have to wait on the tide to get in and out and make a living down there.
Yeah, well, more for us sportsmen than it is for people making a living, but I don't have any issues with that. And that's where the $2.5 million is going on the dredging. Mr. Russell.
That was just talk.
You can still talk.
Okay, go ahead.
That was just talk suggestions we had on, you know.
So you're going to levy this tax, but you haven't made up your mind. Now, let me change this. You're going to increase the budget $2.5 million, but you have not decided what you're going to do with it yet. Is that what? I have concerns about that.
I'll wait on you.
Okay. You're right. We have not made a list of items that need to be done, and we can make, and we've talked about making a list, and I've pushed for a list for a long time, that if we ever did do this, that we would have a specific list. And so I know we've talked about using some of it for the canal dredging, just like you said, and I don't think anybody here would be in agreement to use all of it on the canals, but some of the things that we've talked about in the, to put on a list would be some capital improvements. Okay, we've got dump trucks and all kind of equipment, motor graders and all that have seen their life and they're worn out. They're just barely making it, some of them. So those are some of the things, you know, just capital type improvements. We've got some buildings that need some things. You know, but the specific list, we have not made it. But we did say we were not going to use it for operating expenses because that was... In the first go-around, when the resolution was read, it was included that it would be used for operations and the constitutional officers could use it. We said we didn't want to do that. We do not want to put it in operations. Does that help?
Well, I don't think you actually can, but I don't know. It's changed. I'm sure the laws have changed somewhat because it wound up going in operations in a roundabout way in the past. You see, this is only the second time that I've been to a board meeting that I'm aware of in a long time. I don't have any real issues. I think, again, that the sales tax is the fairest way. So if you get levied the sales tax, so you're going to raise taxes, ad valorem taxes, $2.5 million, is that correct?
Not for me.
So.
No, Commissioner, ex-Commissioner Ralph, now here's something.
Well, ex-Coronel Russell, go ahead.
You know, that's just the way you are. But let me tell you something. Go ahead. Standing up there, this board had a discussion, and the discussion was made that we'd help the hospital if necessary, that we'd build roads where it was necessary, that we'd replace equipment, wore out equipment where it's necessary, and that when we got an additional amount of money, that we try to house some of these people's houses in the courthouse and someplace else, put them somewhere else where they need an office. Because you got the state attorney working over there, we're paying that bill. You got the supervisor election living in a little room, and we're paying that bill.
Well, I just happened to look at the population changes for Taylor County since 1989. We're not there. Not been much change. Services hasn't changed. We have maintained the continued millage rates, which property valuations have taken care of that. Of course, I know there was a big spike in property valuations, but they're still above what they were prior to that big spike. And I know there was lost revenue. The only thing that I see is a $2.5 million budget increase. That's what I see. And now, if that's wrong, somebody tell me.
Is the cost of living going up at your house any at all?
Very little.
What?
Very little.
At your house?
Yeah.
Well, the cost of living, I ain't for two of us, the cost of living's going up quite a bit at my house.
We live conservatively. We try not to overspend.
Does the light bill cost more? The gas at the pump costs more.
gas is actually down from what it was, Commissioner.
Down from when?
Well, down from the last few years. I was paying about $4 a gallon at one time, and now I'm paying $2.30.
It's actually up from what it was 6 months ago.
Well, pennies.
Pennies? 30, 40, 50 cents for like $2.50.
That brings up another thing. You know, I don't really, sales tax, putting on sales tax is the right thing to do. Because gasoline is cheaper in Tallahassee. Sales tax, gas tax is higher in Leon County.
It's higher in every county surrounding county.
The things that you buy in Leon County is cheaper than it is here. And they have a lot higher sales tax.
That's right.
You know, so I don't have any issues with the sales tax. My issue is with increasing the budget to $2.5 million. That's where my issue is.
Go ahead.
Walter, you can bet we're not going to waste that money on that as hard as it is to get. It's going to be used on things that we got to have. If we need, when the fire truck gets to your house, you need to know it's going to work. When the ambulance goes to haul you in Tallahassee, you need to know it's going to work.
Well, you're increasing you talk about the fire trucks, you're putting an additional charge in the MSTU to pay for fire services. You're adding that. So how do you say the sales tax is going to go?
See, we're working in that direction, but we
can't even use that sales tax in the MSTU. You can only use that in the general fund, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm talking about it's just like the motor grader and the dump truck and things that we got to have.
You steal it.
I mean, I don't know if you can use everything or not on it, but I mean.
No, you can't.
You can't, but we're not going to waste the money. You can bet that it's going to be on a good call.
Well, I'm not saying you are, Commissioner, but I'm just saying you're raising the budget. $2.5 million. You're going to have an increase in the budget. And if you look at the past, you say, well, we're going to buy motor graders with it now. Well, what bought motor graders in the past?
I'm not sure. I wasn't here in the past. You were.
Well,
what did y'all buy them with?
Avalon tax. That's what you did.
There's no millage left in the road bridge fund. It's all gas tax. Right. There's no millage. So you didn't use Avalon tax.
We did use Avalon tax.
Not in the road department, you don't.
We have in the past.
Yeah. How many years ago has that been?
Andy May is back in Ravensburg.
I can't remember them ever using road bridge for that millage.
But it is a different budget, you're actually.
You're right. You're it's right. Some gas tax money.
But the road and bridge fund was not solely funded with gas tax. Of course, we didn't have gas tax. That when the state gave us all these roads back, they gave us a 56 cent gas tax. But we didn't have a local option gas tax. So if you funded a road department, you had to fund it with that local tax. You know, you had to put it in. Another point that she brought up is coming from gas tax. So, your fire department's coming from MSTU. Your road department's coming from the road bridge fund.
The fire department's funded through the MSTU with a millage levy.
That's correct. But it's being funded through the MSTU. I don't know if you can use sales tax on that. I wish you would. I wish you'd decrease the MSTU. With that sales tax.
Well, what I was trying to say is the money's not going to be, you can bet sure that we're not going to waste the money on something that's not good for taxpayers of Taylor County. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get across to you. I mean, I'm just trying to say you ain't got to worry about this being wasted, you know, in that kind of way.
Well, it's just, in appearance, it's not very good planning to raise taxes, $2.5 million, and not even know what you're going to do with it. If you tell me I'm wrong, then I'll.
Well, we don't have a specific list yet, and I've asked for us to do that, but it will be used on capital improvement.
But
you got the right to come up here, and I applaud you. A citizen can come up here, and you should
question what we're going to do with your tax money.
What?
And that's quite all right. Now, I'm going to say this, though. Well, hold on just a minute. I'd much rather see this sales tax than a gas tax that's been proposed by some. I'm not for increasing the gas tax. And I'm not for increasing the millage, the property tax. But a sales tax, to me, like you said, is a fair tax. It's the way to do some of the things that we won't ever, I don't see, have the ability to do.
I have no argument with that. But my concern again is you're increasing the budget $2.5 million and you don't even know what you're going to do with it. That's my concern.
Won't you come help us make a list?
We appreciate all the help we can get with it.
Sure.
I got you all the suggestions. I can give you a bunch of suggestions, but that's not the point. The point is, we're generating $2.5 million, and we don't even know what we're going to do.
There were seven or eight things, Walter, that was listed. One of them was the operation of the hospital. Is that right, Mr. Moody?
That's right.
I mean, the hospital, there's been two or three times when it's all been shut down for the lack of money. And I understand that they're destitute right now. They don't have
money.
Okay, there's one, and that's an emergency. That's part of the fund. But for $2.5 million, you can do the infrastructure of the county. The roads that hasn't been paid. District 1 had most of the roads paid. Well, your district got most of the roads paid. District 5's got most of the roads paid. But
I understand what you're saying.
But every penny that this board spends has to be accountable through an audit. And so if it's not sent in the proper direction, then...
Well, I remember an audit in the past when an ex-commissioner sitting up there, when the auditor came and said, you know, you got a bunch of money up here, and, you know, legally you can't have that money there because you can only have so much in carry forward and so much in contingencies, and you've exceeded that, and you shouldn't have that. I remember auditor saying that. And the county did a huge road pavement plan just to get out of that danger that we were in. But I know within my own heart, and it won't affect me, it probably won't affect you, but it will affect your children and your grandchildren when you increase this budget, $2.5 million, it will never come back down. We've got the most expensive county government per capita in the state of Florida, so far as I have looked at, already. So, if we're going to increase it another $2.5 million, I just don't see it. I realize it's capital improvement. Hospital, I don't have any issues with the hospital. That's why it was put on the straw with. Or the last time it was put on, and I think it was said that it would sunset when it was paid off, but it didn't. It wound up going into operations, and this county needs a good hospital. It costs money. Ain't no doubt about it. And just having money sitting around, well, collecting revenue because you can, it's not fair to the people of this county.
I'll tell you, our jail, at some point in time, we're going to have to spend money on the jail. We've already had some issues out there. And if something big came up, we don't have that money. I wish we had a lot of money sitting there, and the auditor said, you got too much money.
Well,
we don't
have that many more people here. And the crime rate has not changed very much. In fact, it may have gone up since the budget was about a third of what it is now in the sheriff's department.
I'm talking about maintenance on the jail.
Well, it's the same thing. The sheriff's department does the jail through the board. I mean, they all pay for it, but the sheriff is the one that sets it up. And they run it. You know, you got deputies all over the place now. I can tell you some tales about some deputies I shared with Commissioner Beaver recently. But And I could tell you some tales about the former sheriff too, but I won't go with that and went through that.
Do you want to stand on the record then saying you are against the sales tax?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
You
what I'm saying, I am opposed to a $2.5 million increase in the budget. We've been paying for it. County government, without this $2.5 million, and if you're going to help do some relief of abnormal taxes by doing capital outlay for different pieces of equipment, whatever, but don't increase the budget that much. I mean, at least do half. Take 1.25 million to do your little projects. And let that other 1.25 million help us out on our annual tax.
Excuse me. I agree with you. It would be irresponsible for the board to raise money and not have a plan for spending it. And I'll remind the board, whenever this first came up in some of the board meetings, one of the biggest topics was how to pay for the canal. We had a study to clean out and dredge all the canals. It was $6.5 million. And at the initial meeting, there was discussion on you would need a routine maintenance on the canal. And that's where part of the forethought was with this money was to maintain the canals. We've got graders and dump trucks and the roll-off people, they've got trucks with 380,000 miles on them. And I just approved a $8,000 transmission work, but let me finish. I'm getting to it. I agree, but there was some forethought and how we're going to pay for these things. Now, the loan with the hospital, as you know, sunsets in December. Also, the county doesn't get all of this $2.5 million. The city gets 40% or whatever it is of it. So I applaud, as a citizen, and I'm just a point of contact county manager, I applaud the board for forethought and looking ahead, to the future on how to, so again, I agree, it would be irresponsible to spend my tax dollars without a plan. And, this is just the first step in the plan is all I'm saying, Mr. Robert.
As county manager, if you don't applaud the board, you may not be here long. But no,
I understand.
I don't challenge the sales tax. I just see regardless, the city may get it,
right,
but you're legging it,
absolutely,
so it's still going to cost $2.5 million. And, it's like, what we're going to get out of it. And you talk about doing garbage trucks. There again, can you use that sales tax in the garbage truck business? Another thing that I tell you, I know something about trucks. 350,000 miles is nothing on one of those trucks. You can put inflame in them trucks and you can get 1 million miles out of them. There's no reason for one of those $200,000 trucks to be pulled off the road with 300,000 miles.
We got equipment broke down all the time.
But there again, there's equipment broke down all the time. You're collecting revenue for it to do that. You've been doing it. This county's been operating doing that for years and years and years. And now, all of a sudden, we're going to have to add $2.5 million to the budget. Don't have any problem with sales tax. And I hope you can use that for it. It would only be fair if you use that, since you're going to give the city a good portion of it. It would only be fair if you use that other portion in the MSTU. But that's not going to happen. We know that. But the thing is my whole argument is it's a $2.5 million increase in the budget. It will never come back. And if for some reason, some unforeseen reason, there was a huge need, you couldn't go there, that'd be the end of it. Well, you could raise, I guess you can get, two cent now?
For other purposes.
Now?
For other purposes.
Anyway, that was, I appreciate you letting me come up here. I just wanted to put some stuff, run some stuff through your head. I'm not opposed to you. I'm not, and I will be out getting signatures and trying to do things to aggravate you. I just wanted to put something before you, let you know.
We appreciate it.
It won't go away. When you increase that budget, $2.5 million, it'll forever more be there.
Come back anytime.
I'll try not to do that.
Item number two, we took off. Item number three, the board to review milling use for residential turnoff.
So if you remember the last board meeting, it was discussed about milling and the cost of milling, and the assumption was, I took from that meeting, is that that's what we are doing now as a SOP, standard operating, is putting milling down on turnoffs. And just to clarify that, they've only done it in a couple of situations where it was, where heavy equipment and trapped vehicles were destroying the line lock would not maintain it. And of course they did it on a whole road. Just for clarification as well, a load of line rock that we're getting is $120 and a load of milling is $350.
Wait a minute, a load of line rock is $120. Do we have to go get it?
Yes.
And what about the milling? Is the milling brought here? We have to go get that off?
I don't know. I didn't ask that. I'm sorry.
The milling brought to us and stacked in the yard out there. And then they load it.
And the issue that they have, and it's subjective, I guess, is that some of the milling is not good. You know, it doesn't have any elasticity left to it. It's too dry, and so that they are still using line rock for turnoffs. And they'll do whatever the board wishes. It is more expensive for the milling.
Yeah, here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a really in-depth analysis of a real comparison with lime rock and with milling.
Okay.
And take into consideration if you do have to, go get the lime rock, if somebody could calculate really as close as they could, what does a load of lime rock cost considering we have to go get it? And then look at over a year's time, how much lime rock do we use? So then we can anticipate, we could use the figures that are more real figures and the history of what we've used to see in the end in a year's time, how much better are we going to come out or worse? Considering then too, you could expect lime rock to last maybe this long on a turnoff where we have to go back and do it again versus if we were to put milling there, if it lasts 10 times as long, all of that calculated to really see what is the best decision.
Well, I can do that, certainly we can do that. And it's my understanding with milling, you have to get the roller out to roll it out, which is more manpower, more equipment. And
that's
so
all the cost. We need to know what all the cost benefit. If it's more than twice the amount to use milling, and in the long run it's not worth the extra money, it might not be something that we want to do. Walter?
I've had some experience using milling, and there's two different, there's the last that I got was about sorry stuff, same, very dry and powdery. But the other that I got, when you roll it, it holds up very, very good under extreme heavy loads. However, lime rock is the same way. If you don't roll lime rock in, when you put it in, it's still loose and powdery, and when the wind blows, it'll away. The lime rock won't stay as long as the milling time.
I think most of the time they put lime rock down and do it using road grader and stuff like that.
There's one other thing about milling. you gonna come back and break it after if you've got that good million of bonds. You cannot run a motor grader over again. The county's experienced that, I know.
But we'll do that cost benefit analysis.
Yeah, that would be more.
For the next workshop. Yes, sir.
You want to start on somebody, start on my district. Here's the problem you got. The fast guy didn't want to do it. And this guy now don't want to do it because the fast guy didn't want to do it. But Ben said at one of the meetings that she'd like to see it done in her district. And I also would like to see it done in my district. I asked him to.
You want to pay for it. I didn't even interrupt you. You want to pay for it.
But I go out there and I go down Golf Course Road, I look at Golf Course Road. Every 2 months they're out there putting down. I'm serious.
Okay.
I mean, they're not every 2 months on a piece, right? I mean, they can't afford it, but I don't think, how much does a million cost? Well,
I think it was $350 a load that I was probably paying a lot more than what you'd have to pay for it. And that was delivered on site.
Joe Anderson. Not Joe. Joe. Of Anderson Columbia is fixing to start taking the road top off of the from Tim to Salem on both sides, north and south. If the board would like, I'll contact him and see if I can make a special deal with him to buy some of that building there. Provide the trucks to go pick it up.
If you get it from him while he's doing it, they'll probably deliver it because they got to haul it somewhere.
Well, if we got a good deal on it, I think it'd be good to get it. But going back to what Commissioner Russell just said, at the last meeting, he said that he had told the road department to go ahead and put milling in his district. And so, and I make the statement, if we're going to take one district, whoever's in it, and use milling, then yeah, I want it too. But I think before we experiment, this is just my opinion, before we move forward with this, we need a cost analysis and see if it's beneficial in the long run for us to do milling versus lime. I need input from the rest of y'all.
I got a good milling one time out there where on the bucket road where you turn on the Gulf and Cemetery Road, log truck and a dump truck coming off the bucket road going toward the mill. Dipping out that right there by the dump, they just dipping out a hole that deep. They put milling in it now, the hole never got no deeper than that, you know. And in certain applications where milling would fail, because it rains, water running that hole, and log trucks on Monday morning go coming through there, they dip that lime rock right out of there. And they was fixing the ruined pavement out right there. So they put milling there, and it worked in the situation I had it work. But I can tell you, milling is not just, when you buy milling, I bought loads of it and it got rained on. I had to take a bulldozer to push it apart to where I could spread it. And then you can buy another load and it's like a load of gravel. It never will stick together, never will get off. I mean, it's according to what the road it comes off of and how new it was, how old the road was, or, you know, it makes a lot of difference.
You don't want any milling from Carlton Cemetery when they get paid for that.
No.
It's so old.
It's too old.
Right, no good.
But that one out that they do in Tim, that road is not too old.
No.
Done that about 3 years ago.
Longer than that.
It's been that long? Longer than that?
The road going into the Off Hill River Boat Ramp on the north side of 98, they milled in. It looked real good.
They did that.
I mean, it
looked real good. It's a road.
And it gets a lot of traffic on. But they're not turning off of it. They're really, you know, there's not a lot of turn off.
That's
because
the state did the
turnoff. Right, right. So, I mean, that's holding up good. Strickland Landing's holding up good. But it was rolled down, and they got good milling. They had to go back and fix two or three places. When they did Strickland Landing, that wasn't good milling. They had to go back in when they're dipping out. So, I mean, it's a toss-up what you get, you know.
And even if it was, you know, however the analysis comes out, if it's a little bit more, then I think it would be okay with a little bit more, knowing that more than likely it's
right,
better.
Sure. Yeah,
but if it's twice or more, then we have a decision to make then.
Yeah.
On the Fox Hill Road, there was two ponds that come under the road on both sides between the beach road and the pavement on Fox Hill Road. And they mill those, they kept dipping out every time the lime rock could dip out every time the quarter level got up high. And they put milling in them two ponds right there, and that had no issue with it.
They've done a lot of milling, like from the storms that we've had and after the hurricane, and washouts that are repeated on Judge Morgan Grade, and I mean, they put milling to stop that repetitive loss. So there's a lot of driveways and a lot of turnoffs, and of course we don't need to do it just to do it. We need to do it if it's there's a hole there and necessary.
And I think we all know, like in my district, I know some of the problem areas that every month when the mother grader goes there for the turnoff, there's holes there. When I go on those roads, there's, you know, Lonnie Wilson Road for one. I mean, we're forever filling in the holes there with lime rock. But anyway.
Okay.
All right. So, any other discussion on this?
I like to see the milling go down. If we had the milling, then you don't need to go on the grid. Might need to bob them. Put that money in the milling. Okay. And roll it.
Anybody else? Well, we've got
two, three,
so let's go to the next number three. The board to discuss citizen re-entry after disaster.
That's 3A. I know Commissioner Russell had mentioned this back when Margaret was here, and I found where you wanted to put that on a workshop.
I brought it up too.
Did you? Okay, so, you know.
My idea, there's so many lots.
Yes, sir.
Issue a re-entry card for each of the lots. Because the people that rent those lots, they got a home or they got a mobile home or they got a travel trailer and plug the shitter in. And they can't get in. And like last time we were sitting there, the butt ups couldn't get in. Oh no, you can't go in there. We got to have it. And here's somebody in a pickup truck with four or five people riding around with a little tractor in the back of it, making money by cleaning the roads when it should have been.
Agreed and understood. We have a re-entry policy, and I gave you a copy of that, and we have a evacuation and re-entry policy that we SOG, Standard Operating Guide, that we regularly update. After the, he's not here, but after the hurricane, the law enforcement met with emergency management, with the road department, and we had an after action. And we talked about the problems that we experienced with reentry. Some of those were, we talked about all this before the storm. We were sitting at the EOC the night before, and I have a big map, and we drew where the roadblocks need to be and where the checkpoints need to be. And in the heat of the moment, those things just, you know, didn't always happen. It didn't happen then. The sheriff's department, the emergency management in the county does the evacuations. The sheriff's department is responsible for the security. So where they set their checkpoint was not exactly where we had talked about. But, I mean, it was fine. Other issues that we had was that people were coming around the checkpoints, back to them not having enough security. And then when we did let the citizens in, it should have been only the residents or the property owners that went in. That's the purpose of the, you know, the reentry sticker that we have. And criticism and from that after action was that we released the law enforcement too early from the area and didn't, you know, screen people as they went and out. We had, you might as well call them scavengers, that were out picking up stuff off the side of the road and refrigerators and those kind of things, and we all recognize that that has to be enforced, and we can't let people do that kind of stuff. So So there were several things that happened, you know, that we identified as problem areas that we want to try to correct. God forbid we have another. On the reentry skippers, we've had this program, you know, before I came 5 years ago. And the Taylor County Coastal Water has, you know, mailed out the, they used to mail their bill in an envelope. And each water customer received a new reentry sticker with their water bill. However, people in leisure retreats aren't on the water. And Steinhatchee don't mail out those kind of bills. So we left those bills at the water company for people to pick up. So it was evidence that we had a big disconnect and a problem that we didn't get the reentry stickers out to everyone like we need to. We're going to do, you know, at the board's suggestion, send out a mailing. We actually ran out of reentry stickers. You know, we gave out 3,000 or more. But anyway, notifying everyone in that area that we do have a reentry program, sending them this evacuation and reentry policy, and asking them to contact us for, you know, for an updated sticker for reentry.
A couple of things. I know some of my feeling, because I obviously was at property there, but a lot of people, and I included, felt like that the public was allowed to go in too quick. When you're down there and your home is destroyed, and you got people riding by in droves videotaping, you got people looting, it just seems like that it was open to the public too quickly, and I don't think we had it secured well enough. The other thing that was brought to my attention was friends said that they had family members and they had friends in some of their churches from out of town that found out about it and said, we will come help you. Because
sure.
We all needed all the help we could get. Well, there was no way for these people at some point to get in because they don't have a sticker. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the question is. How do we fix it so anybody wants to come volunteer and help your family or friend? How do we do that?
Well, the only way to do that is to enforce the reentry standards, set up a roadblock and check everyone that comes in. We'll set up, and this is part of our after action, set up a tent on the road for about at Walter B's and let people register there. The plan wasn't to come to the EOC. By then it's too late, already down there. And let people register there. We try to verify where they're going. It's going to be time consuming, but we have volunteers and stuff that we can do that with. But that's a alternative to try to, it'll be, again, people just won't be able to go in, but at least we can screen them and give them clearance to go in and give them a temporary pass.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult, but I'm sure y'all can figure it out, because, I mean, if my cousin from Hay Hire says, hey, I'll come and help you, you say, yeah, we need all the help we can get. And you're down there digging out, and they're at Walter Beach trying to say, so-and-so's my cousin, they told me to come. You may have a looter say, oh, my cousin told me to come. I don't know how you're going to differentiate.
It's going to be difficult, and you know, when I worked with the state, I went to all the hurricanes in 2005 and 6 and 4, and you know, they stopped law enforcement from going in. You had to have a pass to get in, and it's a safety issue for one. You know, we have a business reentry plan as well, and we went over it with Conrad, and they have to give sign an affidavit of, you know, that they understand this is a dangerous situation that they're going into, and a waiver.
Hold harmless
waiver. So, I mean, those are serious things to consider with all of your friends from Bay Howard going into a dangerous situation down there. And we've let them in with the county and they get injured when we should have known better than to let people in there in that kind of setting. It's a difficult situation.
I don't think there's easy answers.
I don't make a decision myself, you know, and more input from the board, and of course the sheriff's office plays a big part of that, and we work well in that, but there were people fighting mad, ready to, you know, go to fisticuffs right after daylight they wanted in. And, you know, we were still clearing the area, checking down wires and things like that, and they have to, you know, it's difficult for them to be patient.
Was Howard?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
No, you started, go ahead.
It's always, in my opinion, always good to check with other communities, like other coastal communities, mm-hmm. and say, hey, what are y'all doing in situations like this? And they may say, well, we don't know, or you may have somebody that's really come up with a really good plan. But that morning that happened, well, we didn't get down there real early, but when we did get down there and park and walk to our house, I don't know how many moccasins. I can't imagine being there before daylight with all those snakes. Go ahead.
We have, excuse me.
There was nobody stopping the Judy Morgan dream?
Right. Well, there was. It was when we went out, when we found out.
And they were there with a trailer picking up those nice little fences we had around it. They were stealing those fences. They did that. And I saw it.
You know, our first of all, back to us checking with other counties, we actually practice that with other counties. We've had about every other year, we have a regional, part of it is how to evacuate people from the region, but we do talk about those issues in other counties, and you know, everybody's got this plan. You know, we were required to have them. You know, we just need to go by it and enforce it. It's back on me to make sure the sheriff understands, and you know, we try to follow it. And there's always something that we don't plan for. But.
Yeah, I have one other thing that I'm done. Is I had somebody call me, a resident, and said, my neighbor that lives in another state, he lost his floating dock, and he told me if I could find him one, that he'd give me such and such, and there's one down the canal that's been there and nobody's claimed it. Can I go get it? I don't think so, but let me call our county administration. I called Dustin. I said, Dustin, you're not going to believe this, but I'm sure.
Well, I got trapped up in some of that myself in emergency management. It was, you know, it was pretty embarrassing. But yeah, it's and we had stuff that people found their docks and tagged it and put the name on it, and it still got towed away anyway. They waited 3 weeks to go get it.
We talked about spray painting your stuff down there. You know, go ahead and put your name on it. Anybody else got anything to do to say with this item?
So we'll get those cards out and notices out to everybody. Okay. And try to get people to register and get the pre-entry cards.
And number four, we want to discuss littering on county roads.
This is just an ongoing topic. I had hoped that the sheriff's department would be here, and I'd invited him. Well, he's not a decision maker; he's security. But I will, you know, talk to the sheriff and try to come up with some plan to, you know, they could sit while they're doing a report in an area where people are going near a roll-off site and see the stuff blowing out and then take some action. I mean, there is some proactive stuff that can be done, and I plan on moving forward with that. While the roads look a lot better, you know, they only last a couple of days, but the crews, with the sheriff and the inspectors have been out picking up trash, and that's a priority. I don't know how they ever got that far behind, frankly.
This bad Thompson Stripper Road right now is just littered big time. But we need to make sure that garbage is not flying off the trucks down 221. I highly suspect that's happening because they're supposed to be covered. We need to make sure that they're covered each time. I don't know how that much litter can be there if it's not blowing off the trucks.
And let's remember, we have commercial going up there, and we have commercial businesses going up 221, and we have the city of Perry going up 221. So there's a lot of possibilities there. But we've already, from our standpoint, I've already communicated to both Heather and Gary that, to make sure that our tarps are on there and they don't need to be on the road if it's not covered. That's just, it's embarrassing if something blows out. Sure.
I'm wondering if we need some sort of, I hate to say this because not for a bunch more laws or ordinances, but I wonder if there should be some kind of ordinance that if you're hauling garbage, you have to have it secure and covered, like these businesses that you're talking about or whoever.
Certainly pass them.
No, that's already state law.
It's been discussed several times to change the ordinance for other than businesses for vehicles hauling garbage.
Yeah.
The board's never adopted an ordinance, I don't think, that requires residential to cover it. But you're not going to solve the problem until you do that, because I see cars, trucks going down my road, just put all their garbage flying everywhere. So, until you make them cover it, it's not going to happen.
And when you go down the road and you get there and you've got your garbage, you say, gee, I don't have quite as much as I left home with. You go back down that same road and you see a black bag of garbage there, you kind of would think,
who's going to enforce it, Pam? That's the issue.
Say again?
Who's going to enforce it? Who's going to stop them?
Yeah, they
won't be thinking anybody to do it. It's a PR thing and a personal responsibility thing. Somebody needs to try to step on it and do it, but I see it all the time.
It's a shame we don't have more pride in our county.
That's where it's at. That's where it's at.
We've got visitors, we've got people coming in that want to have a business here, and but people don't care. Even on my street in town, it's really bad.
You'll get a tag number off the vehicle that garbage flies off of. Call FHP, they will find them and give them a notice.
Have you had that happen anyway?
Yes.
I don't think FHP would get involved in garbage.
They
any commission used to, they quit. They don't want to agree. They may, more than I do, but it's hard. Who's going to enforce this issue?
I actually think we put up some signs, more signs, please do not litter, and make people aware of that.
More signs.
I mean, how many do you see between here and Kiwi? I counted them this morning. How many do you see?
Two.
I don't see any.
Oh, yeah, there's one you can turn off, and then there's one past deep.
That's going. I thought I'm coming this way.
Oh, coming this way.
And yesterday morning, there was a huge bag of garbage. Did you see it on the side of the road?
No.
I saw two full bags.
I come through in the dark and go home in the dark. I didn't see it.
Yesterday morning, it was right there where that cotton picket road was paved. I think it goes over to Springwater.
John Dixon, man.
Just inside of Mod Dixon, one's a little bit further up. Is that where you saw your dad?
Huh?
Is that where you saw
him? Whole bag of garbage.
Yeah, listen, whole bag of garbage.
Yeah.
You go down here
it's obvious. It's off the back of the truck, right?
No, I tell you, if we could get them covered up, it'd be better. Or if we put five or six signs up.
Yeah. Well, we can certainly put more signs up. We put up, don't throw out dead animals in this too.
And they put the head, cut the head off, stick it on top of the sign. Well, it's a shame that we can't get the jail inmates, more inmates, well, not the jail inmates, but people that are given community service. And we've talked and talked and talked and talked. This is always, the insurance and this and that and the other. But I know other counties, Leon County does it, that all those college students get caught drinking underage and all that, they're out there picking up the trash on the weekend.
Not all that, they're wearing a striped suit.
I think what happens is the county has a crew that they use and they sign up on Saturday. Some counties charge a $10 fee for those who report to pick up garbage. And if you sign up and you don't report, you still have to pay the $10. And then they take that crew out here and let you pick up that garbage on the road.
Well, shoot, I pay $10 anyway just to keep having to pick up garbage all day long.
But I'm talking about the people who actually sign up for community service. They have to pay, and they say that $10 fee is attributed to insurance. But, we wouldn't have that. We don't have enough community service anymore.
But, we really need community service people picking up our trash.
that should be put there in the first place, and I don't know how you keep it running.
Okay.
What do we need to do, Conrad? You've heard this conversation many times.
Well, the idea of the signs, I can remember years ago as a young person when they first started putting up signs for places to keep people from dumping trash on the road. I can remember it said, first time I ever saw one, it said, you know, it's a $100 fine, you know, and I can remember Mama saying, don't you dare throw anything out of that car, you know, and to this day I don't, but the problem with signs is, number one, they're vandalized, of course, but I think that, I don't think there's anything wrong with putting up signs, but also subjecting it to a fine.
Yeah.
You know, litterers could be subject to a fine up to a certain amount of money. We can pass an ordinance, you know, for that incorporated area. Now, the thing is, okay, well, it won't work. Well, it won't work if you don't do it.
It'll work better than nothing.
Right, and it doesn't, you know, we pass an ordinance, we're real, you know. And of course, enforcement, the problem with misdemeanors, and Steve will tell you that because he's a former law enforcement officer, you got to see folks do it, you know. But I think that, like I said, if you had that, there's nothing wrong with giving it a try. You might want to give it a try, pass the ordinance, and put it on a particular road, one that's really done that, and see if it works on that particular road.
Question, you know, and we've only got a part-time code enforcement officer, but could a code enforcement officer go out and pick up a bag on the side of the road, find out who the owner of the bag was, and it's not probable cause for misdemeanor, but might it be a probable cause for a code enforcement violation?
Reasonable grounds.
Reasonable
grounds. It's like, well, you know, being a former law enforcement officer, you know about digging in the dumpsters, finding somebody's name that is, you know, that leads to criminal investigation.
Right. Did you know that in the 60s, they had a law in Brevard County, you might want to check. If they found garbage just thrown out, they would go through it. And it was a $150 fine, you had to go clean up the area.
That's right.
I paid a guy who called him garbage, told him he threw it out. I paid the fine and cleaned up the area. That's a true story.
Excuse me. I looked for garbage this weekend. I went from Perry to Tampa. When I got to Tabletown line, going south, I didn't see no more garbage. I didn't see no more ragged buildings. From there to Homestead Square. Now, somehow or other, some pride in cleanliness, or I don't know how we got so far off track. We let everything go. We don't want to pressure nobody to do nothing, and all of our friends, and we just accept anything. But if you go to the tail kind of line from that town, you won't find a speck of trash, you won't find a rundown building, and if they got, and that business is under the same kind of business we got. You know, heavy equipment, the automobile repair shop, they're behind the fence, they look good. So it just made a difference.
Maybe they expect more. You got to have an expectation before
people
do anything.
Yeah, you know, when I first started going to Tampa, going through homes that spring, there was one bank on that road. Now there's 20 banks on that road. It makes a difference. I mean, the places are growing. You go down there in Homestead Springs or Crystal River, there's large car shut a lot. Every kind of car lot just about you want to see is down on the road. Yeah.
You don't know if you're driving around so much.
Is that what you do? But anyway, I'm just saying that evidently somebody's doing something right in the weeks. We need to learn somewhere.
Well, and on that note, that's a state road. And
well, 19 people were up there.
Yeah, and I've, you know, since found out, and Commissioner Fiegel knows this, that DOT has a, because she called me about 221.
Okay.
DOT has a contract with a company to pick up their trash. They have it on three counties.
King Forest Park is out of land.
Three counties, and they rotate. They rotate counties. And they were supposed to have been in Taylor County last week, and they hit our, all of our roads, and then they go to another. So it may be 3 months before they come back through again. By then, it's an isolated again. So, I mean, that is how DFT is handling their trash, or not handling, but
they were
that's
here.
Their procedure. Certainly.
They were here a week ago.
Were they?
Yeah.
So, Conrad, how can we, is there any way to get community service people so we can use them? I know people have talked to the judge, and I mean,
well, you hit the nail on the head when you talking about workers' compensation insurance. That's the problem with that. They get hurt on that, and that's the issue that we've heard before, Pam. I've often thought about waivers or hold harmless and that sort of thing, but somebody that's doing community service, if they get hurt, they're not going to want to waive anything. They're going to sue you as a practical matter. Are they, you know, there's community service mandatory, you know, for DUI, first time DUI, 50 hours.
Yeah.
But you still pay it off at $10 an hour, right? What's the percentage of people that pay it at $10 an hour?
What's the percentage that pays anything? Nothing. Most of the time, they don't even care what they do to the community service. They're going to violate the probation and convert everything to a final judgment and walk out the door. Same with the alcohol counseling and all that.
Well, I know I don't represent as many DUI clients as I used to. Of course, mine are all not guilty. You know, they found not guilty, but I got the plea for one. I made him pay that, you know, up front. The reason I ask that is because if they do pay at $10 an hour, just hypothetically, where does that money go? Okay, there's not a not no fund to for pay for insurance is what I'm trying to get at. Okay. I don't have an answer for you.
How is the county probation office funded?
Through their fees.
And
the fees are not very much anymore, though, are they?
$40, the judge told me.
A month?
Judge told me it went from 25 to 40, what Judge Luke told me.
A month?
I think so.
Yeah.
That time I had it went up, he had it go up.
That's sort of a source spot with me today. And we'll be for a while.
I will go to the probation officer, and I will go see Judge Blue, and I will see if, you know, what their reasoning is, why they don't do the community service, and let them tell me that it's workers' comp or whatever, and see if I can encourage them to, on behalf of the board, to, make that
program. County has the same, if they have to have all that, Leon County uses some stuff. Yes, they got more money to pay for workman's comp or whatever, but I think
the city uses trustees all the time down here.
Yeah, they're from the Department of Corrections. Furnished workman's comp.
State
probationer that serves under the State Department of Corrections, they furnish the insurance
part. I didn't know. I thought they were in jail.
Anyone that
they
has
are.
The county probationer, there's no coverage. We checked on it about 5 or 6 years ago, and the cost was so.
No, you sound like the one that works with the city. They let them wear normal clothes, and they bring them over there, and they come from the jail.
County jail.
County.
I thought they were.
Just for the board's edification, we have two paid DOC crews. We pay the correction officer's salary and benefits, and they furnish inmates. And the van and the trailer is part of that package deal. One is assigned to the sports complex to do the manual labor and so forth out there. The other one is with the projects manager, Danny O'Quinn, and they're the ones doing much of the labor for our coastal park, our grant program that we have. And then we have, the county has two, sometimes three free crews that are hit and miss. It depends on the state, whether or not they want to send them out that day. It's too foggy, they won't send them out, and those kind of things. And those are the ones that we've had picking up trash for us. The city has a similar agreement, and they have free crews and paid crews that you see, state DOT crews. And then, of course, we have the sheriff has his cleanup crew, Carlos. That Mosey Elks Club and other things. That's right.
I don't know if they move the Elks Club anymore.
They may not. They did that
when I got to do that. They moved the hospital, the Elks Club.
They moved the Elks Club for the last 2 or 3 months. The new sheriff may not.
The reason why they voted, now I asked about that.
I know why they didn't play soccer out there as far as they quit playing soccer. That's right.
Okay, to sum up this and move on.
Yes.
We're going to look into putting up signs, or we're going to look into an ordinance where we're going to put a fine for throwing out trash. We're going to look at signs that would state that, and then you're going to check with the folks over there about, you know, the workman's comp, whatever it takes to see about the community service stuff, right?
Yes, ma'am. Other counties as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's four things. Okay, so. Yes.
So, if I'm understanding correctly, you're going to put on the agenda to vote to instruct me to prepare an ordinance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that'll be on the agenda for next regular meeting.
Thank you.
Might even start on it before that.
So,
is the ordinance going to cover if there's a bag of trash floated out on the cemetery road, I believe, out of somebody's truck going to the dump, for instance, and you look in it and find at their address, is that where the ordinance is going to take place and going to get a fine on them for that bag of trash?
It's going to be investigated.
If it's got a bunch of their letters in there, it's pretty much there. And they're the ones that are going to get the ticket.
As I understand it, also, Mr. Jim, is that the ordinance is going to require, no matter what kind of garbage you're taking, whether you're residential or commercial or something, that it be covered.
There's a menu bag on Carlton Cemetery and Puckett Road that blows out of truck. I've been going up down the road back to that mill for over 40 years. And I picked up a menu bag that was in the street that's fixing to be scattered all over the road and carried it on up to the dump. And I've actually asked followed people to the dump that it blowed out of their truck and told them they need to go back and get that one, you know, that blowed out.
And it's the same way with the beach road, the same way with Johnson Stripling Road. Yes.
Would you like to, this is just another idea, to put in the ordinance that there's a reward for reporting and ticketing whatever they catch.
Yes, we added into the same ordinance with the animal carcasses. But who's going to call and report something when you got to make it a public? Who did it?
Yeah.
The head snare.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might inhibit people from calling.
It would.
It's going to be public information.
Just talk about getting the chamber involved.
Thank you.
I think it's a good idea.
Chamber of Commerce involved, some kind of PR program. They used to have the
$100,000 alcohol.
And we had take
the county claim something useful. Give a little bit of money to run ahead.
You know, we could use the garden club. Yeah. We could use the master gardeners to help put that word out. The women's club, Kiwanis, Rotary, Chamber. Every organization like that, if we started a campaign and let these organizations really push it,
And I know at one time there were cleanup crews, like Buckhog would have cleanup crews.
Dr. Road,
and you see a sign, that was their road to clean up.
It's a shame you got to pay somebody to go out and pick up trash, or take an inmate pick up trash, and they knew they were doing it wrong. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I like that idea.
It's just, I get heartburn. I see crews going up four-wheelers picking up trash.
Good idea. Okay. Let's move forward. Number six, the board to discuss state museum lease and survey.
Now, I spoke about this briefly, and you know, we heard the issues with the TCDA and all that property out there at the airport, and that there are issues with the legal descriptions, and the State Museum entered into a 50-year lease for the state property there next to Forest Kappa Hall. That lease, that 50-year lease, which they took out with TCDA, incidentally, has expired, and now naturally they want to renew their lease for another 50 years. Well, the legal descriptions that we're finding don't match with that particular property. In other words, that 12 acres that was in that lease is not separated in the whole, in all of the property. So, it's a no-cost lease. In other words, you know, we give them that property, but they lease it for free. But my question is, you know, it's been an issue with the FAA for all of that property, but the area there with the State Museum, you know, I mean, it needs to be surveyed, I'm guessing, to try to identify exactly where that plat is, so that if we choose to continue leasing it to the DEP, you know, they need a plat to know what they're leasing, and so do we.
Do we know yet?
You don't know that.
I can't verify that.
You don't know.
The legal description doesn't show it.
Pete Gibson got that done, and Jim Sullivan, they established a museum. I remember.
Well, then, in court records, it's not. Anime has researched it, and the tax assessor has researched it, and
I researched it.
Well, I mean, you got the deeds and so forth. Your office did, I'm sorry. But you're a relative. Your office did it.
Your fault.
You know, back from when it was obtained in 1948. You know, so from a legal standpoint, it needs a title. I don't know what the correct procedure would be to identify who owns it.
That would be the first thing to do, is to identify the ownership, Of course, the survey shows what the land is, you know, and so it's kind of you do it together, so to speak, Steve. And of course, my position would be if they want to lease it from us, then shouldn't they be the ones that would cost of the survey and also the search? And, you know, we're going to lease it to them for free, but we need to know whether we own it and whether we can do that, so help us out.
Yes.
And pay for the survey and title search.
DEP's want to get rid of those parks if you don't push back. They tried to give it to the county a while back.
Several years ago.
Yeah.
And we refused to take it back. And when we refused to take it back, they left an individual there. And if you take it back, you've got to keep that individual there.
And keep it up.
To keep it up.
The lease has expired. Next week, expires in January.
Can we get it back anyway?
That's my suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. I'll contact them more.
Okay. Okay. Item number 8. We want to discuss aligning the citizens' emergency response teams to register for 501(c)(3) status?
Actually, we didn't mark out number seven. That's the one that we...
I'm sorry, number seven. The board to discuss Keaton Beach ramp turnoff expansion to an emergency lane. This is something we talked about last year when we were discussing all the problems down there with the traffic and the danger. Or maybe it was year before last now, because this year we put a lot of things in place that did help the flow of traffic. But we still have talked about making another lane, and I didn't recall it being an emergency, but whatever it's called, I thought it was another lane for traffic to line up in and get to the boat ramp, and then another lane for people that's traveling through. If you're going to your house, you can get through, because the problem was that if there was an emergency, you couldn't get anybody through there when you got that much traffic blocking the road.
Emergency lane was just a term I used.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're correct, and I think Commissioner Russell had some ideas on how to maybe do that, or
just do a little bit on either side, then maybe emergency. And there again, you call it whatever you want to call it.
Right.
A lane for an ambulance to go through traffic offense. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this in other places where you get over and move.
So we wouldn't alleviate any of the boat traffic. We would just make a provision for through traffic.
Yeah, so boat traffic would just turn and come on in there.
Yeah.
And the only problem you may have is if it backs up past the little store or the little road there, for them to get down that side, get down the first lane.
I wonder, just thinking outside of the box here, maybe instead...